Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we'll be reading the verses 1 through 15. John, chapter 6, and reading the verses 1 through 15. And please note of the outline in your bulletins as well, where I have a structural outline and then a sort of thematic outline about some various themes I will point to in the course of this sermon. Yesterday at prayer meeting, somebody mentioned that this would be a good sermon for the Lord's Supper, and I do think that's very true, but we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper next week, so maybe we can consider this a preparation sermon. Let us hear God's word as it comes to us from John chapter 6, the verses 1 through 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. As we begin this morning, we want to take a look at the structure of our particular text. You can see that there is a chiastic pattern here in which the one side of our text is building to a center and the other side comes down, the other side with similar language, similar themes, to the bottom of the mountain again. And you notice that there is repetition in these structural verses. In verse 3, we see that Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. In the last part of verse 15, we see that Jesus withdrew again to the mountain, this time by himself. In verses 5 through 9, we have the 5 barley loaves that have been found to feed the people. In verses 12 through 13, the 5 barley loaves are there, and there are leftovers. After Jesus has served the people, there are 12 baskets of the pieces of the 5 barley loaves, the end of verse 13, that are left over from those who had eaten. And in the center of our text, verses 10 through 11, we see the Lord serving the people the bread from heaven. Jesus said in verse 10, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. Now, as we examine this structure and as we seek to know the point of which the author, the inspired author, has for us, we recognize in this structure that what he wants us to see is the miracle. What he wants us to remember is Jesus giving the bread to the people who were in a solitary place, who were hungry and in need of food. But as we think in terms of this miracle and what it means in terms of its fulfillment, we must ask ourselves, why does the gospel writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, include this story in the place where he does? Is it an interesting story simply about a miracle that Jesus did? Is it to make us think in terms of how wonderful it would have been if Jesus was around here to feed us when we were hungry and we wouldn't have to buy it and he could continue to feed us in a similar way? But he's not here with us now, so why even think such things? Well, the gospel writer has a much greater purpose for including the story where he does. And by examining that purpose and the surrounding verses, we can see how this text is not simply about the people of long ago and of Jesus' day, but this text is about us. This text is about God's people until our Lord returns. You will notice this morning that on your outlines I have included at the bottom Exodus themes. And you can see in this text that there are various Exodus themes that surround this very story that the author wants you to see. Moses is mentioned in chapter 5, especially the last three verses of chapter 5, where Jesus said in verse 46, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me." The sea is mentioned in verse 1. We see in verse 3 that it is the Jewish, or I'm sorry, verse 4, that it is the Jewish Passover. We notice that there is a mountain in verse 3, a mountainside. And we see in the center of our text the story of the bread. But what does the author want us to see by including all these Exodus themes? What the author wants us to do as we examine this story is to reflect back on the past and reflect on what is taking place in the present and what continues to take place until our Lord returns. The first thematic Exodus theme is the theme of Moses. Now we remember as we think back who Moses was. It was Moses whom God appeared to at the burning bush, and God said, "I am who I am." God's presence was in that bush, and it was God who sent Moses to deliver God's people out of the land of slavery. It was Moses who led them in the wilderness. It was Moses who led them to Mount Sinai. It was Moses who led them to the entrance of the promised land. We also see in our text the theme of the Passover. In verse 4, the author mentions that the time of this miracle was during the Jewish Passover. Again, as we think back to the book of Exodus, we think of how the children of Israel were delivered from the land of Egypt by Moses, well, not Moses, by the blood of the Passover lamb. God had all the children of Israel slaughter a lamb and sprinkle the blood of the lamb on the doorposts so the angel of death would pass them by. And all the firstborn of Egypt died, and after suffering this 10th plague, Moses, through God's power, was able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they celebrated their Passover once a year. We also see in our text the theme of the sea. The sea is mentioned in verse 1 and in verses 16 through 21 as our miracle concludes. Again, Jesus and the disciples are on the sea. After being delivered from Egypt, God led his people to the Red Sea. They had to cross the Red Sea. And God miraculously brought them through the sea on the dry land to the other side. The Apostle Paul reflects in 1 Corinthians 10 that the people of Israel were baptized into the sea. We also notice the theme of the bread. As the Israelites were in the wilderness, in the Old Testament, They found themselves without food. They pleaded with Moses that they may have some food. They wished to go back to Egypt. But God provided them food. 2 million people woke up every morning to find manna on the ground, manna which they could eat, manna which filled them until they were full. We also see in our text the theme of the mountain. Jesus went up on a mountainside, verse 3. In verse 15, Jesus went by himself to the mountain. As God led his people through the wilderness, he led them to the mountain, Mount Sinai. It was at Mount Sinai that God spoke to Moses. It was at Mount Sinai that God met with his people and made a covenant with his people. The point of all these themes that the author is referring to in the Gospel of John chapter 6 is that we think in terms of Exodus, is that we think in terms of the Old Testament Exodus, that we think back as the Jews have accused Jesus to the Exodus. Only Jesus is bringing something new. Jesus is bringing about a change. Jesus is bringing about another exodus. And this has been the theme of the Gospel of John, especially in chapter 5. Now remember, in chapter 5, Jesus did this miracle of healing. And as Jesus healed this man, and he told him to go and pick up his mat and walk, Jesus was challenged on the law. They saw this man walking and they said, "Who told you to carry your mat on the Sabbath?" And they were told that it was Jesus. And they challenged him on his authority. "How dare you challenge Moses? How dare you challenge our interpretation of Moses? Who are you to do such a thing?" And at the end of chapter 5, Jesus tells them in verse 45, "But do not think that I will accuse you before the Father, for your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Jesus is telling them that, yes, you look to Moses, you look to the Old Testament, but I have come as one greater than Moses. I have come as one who has come to fulfill what Moses has done. I have come to bring about another exodus for the people of God. An exodus of deliverance from slavery. Now, as we go into chapter 6, Jesus is expanding on these themes. You notice that it takes place in verse 4 on the Passover. Jesus was described in John chapter 1 by John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." When the Jews thought of the Passover, they thought of a lamb. When they thought of the Passover, they thought of the shedding of the blood of the lamb. They were reminded of their Old Testament deliverance. But now another lamb has come. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who has come to fulfill the Passover. The Lamb of God, the next Moses, the greater than Moses, the one who will lead and deliver his people from slavery. But what is their slavery? They think their slavery is Rome. You notice at the end of our text, verse 15, having been fed by Jesus, they seek to come to him and make him king by force. They want deliverance from Rome. They want deliverance from earthly captivity. But Jesus is bringing deliverance from sin. They are enslaved to their sins. They are in slavery and in bondage as the Israel of old was in bondage. But Jesus does this miracle on the Passover to point to the deliverance, to the slaughter of the Lamb, which would take place at the end of this gospel. We also see the theme of the sea. Having been delivered from Egypt, the Israelites were led before the Red Sea. Jesus is, in chapter 6, verse 1, at the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus crosses the Sea of the Galilee, and a great crowd of people follow him because they're interested in his miraculous signs and the things he has done for the sick. But at the end of the story, beginning at verse 16, his disciples are on the sea and Jesus is not. As his disciples begin to cross the sea, you notice that our text tells us in verse 17 that it is dark, that Jesus was not with them, and a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed for 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, and they were terrified at his presence. And Jesus got in the boat with them and said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." The Greek words reflect the same language from the burning bush. "I am that I am." Jesus is identifying himself as God, as equal with God. Jesus is identifying himself as the one who can lead his people across the sea. For there were those who wanted to make him king. There were those who had the wrong understanding of the salvation that Jesus would bring. But his disciples were on the boat, battling for their lives. Jesus comes to them on the boat. He identifies himself to them as God. He brings them across the sea. Well, that brings us to our story today, surrounded by these Exodus themes and the understanding of the bread. This is not just a happy story of something Jesus once did, which is nice to know, but that's the entire meaning. This story is designed around the Exodus. This story is designed around fulfillment. This story is designed for us to see that not only is this story something that took place long ago, it is about us. It is about our lives. For as Jesus seats the people, he is ready to serve them bread. The Israelites in the wilderness, having been delivered at the Passover, having been led across the sea, are given bread, manna from heaven. And now Jesus, in this solitary place, performs another miracle. This manna doesn't just come out of heaven, as Moses said, and they find it on the ground the next morning. Jesus is the one who is serving this bread. Jesus is demonstrating his power. Jesus is demonstrating that he is greater than Moses. Jesus is demonstrating where the source of life, where the source of bread comes from. 5,000 of them need to eat. 5 loaves and 2 fishes are served. And they all eat and are satisfied, and 12 baskets are left over. What does this mean? Drop down to verse 32. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." This bread is not about Moses. This bread is about the fulfillment of what took place in the first Exodus. This bread is about the new Exodus for which our Lord has come to bring. This bread is about the Son of God who has come from heaven and who gives life. Look also at verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The author has highlighted this story and pointed the center of this story to the bread because our life is found in the bread. It is not just about our Lord and what He did a long time ago. It is about the bread that He continues to give His people, that He continues to feed His people as they enter into His presence, as they join Him in this Exodus. The Exodus of which Jesus speaks, of which the author of John is speaking, is the Exodus of salvation for the New Testament people of God. This is about deliverance from slavery to sin. This is about deliverance from having a will that refuses to obey God because your will is enslaved to your sin. This is about His deliverance by the Passover lamb. This is about what it means to be in the wilderness. In a wilderness, in a world filled with temptation. In a wilderness, in a world in which there are difficult times, sadness, hunger, thirst. But our Lord is there to provide. Our Lord provides this food through the reading of the Scriptures, through the proclamation of His Word. God's people are fed. Our Lord provides for us His food through the sacraments which represent Him and what He did. Our Lord, in the Last Supper, said to His disciples, as He held up the bread, "This is my body." Now we know this morning that unlike the Catholics who take that to mean this is His actual body and put a greater emphasis on the sacrament, that somehow that sacrament gives them a particular grace, that's not what our text is saying. But what that sacrament does is it drives us to be reminded of our Passover lamb. It drives us to be reminded of His victory, of His death and resurrection, of the place where the lamb is now, which is in heaven. As God delivered His people from Egypt, they found themselves in a wilderness between the land of slavery, looking forward to the promised land. As we live our lives on this earth, we also find ourselves in between. God has delivered us from our bondage to sin, and we know that we belong to Him and have eternal life, and we long to go home with Him. But in the meantime, we find ourselves in a wilderness. And in this wilderness, we need to be fed. We need His Word. We need His sacraments. Because in Him, we will never hunger, we will never thirst, and we will be satisfied. You notice in our text this morning that in verse 12, we're told that they all had enough to eat. He said to His disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them, and they filled the 12 baskets with the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets representing the 12 tribes of Israel. For this is a new Israel. This is a new people of God. This is a Israel that is led by one greater than Moses. This is an Israel that has been delivered from sin and brought into eternal life. But you notice this morning, there's one more theme I have yet to describe the fulfillment. In verse 3, we're told that Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. At the end of verse 15, we're told that Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. As Israel went to Mount Sinai, God made a covenant with the elders of Israel on the side of the mountain. And later Moses went up on the mountain by himself. This one who is greater than Moses has brought us to a mountain as well. This is not the mountain of Moses that the enemies of Jesus were pointing to in chapter 5. This is a mountain which is not of this earth, but a mountain that belongs to the kingdom of heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author of Hebrews writes about this mountain that belongs to the people of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, we read this: "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or such a voice speaking words that only those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what it was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, that animal must be so stoned. This sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.'" The author of Hebrews tells us this in verse 22: "You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the gate of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in the joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Jesus has brought you in this Exodus to the mountain that is in heaven above, to the heavenly Jerusalem that God has in store for all of His people. And as God has brought us to that mountain, as Jesus, while first on earth, was at the mountainside with his disciples, now he is in heaven by himself, awaiting for you and for the rest of God's people. May we recognize these Exodus themes. May we recognize that this Exodus story, this Exodus fulfillment story, is our story. May our eyes be focused on heaven. May our thoughts remember His deliverance. May our lives reflect being fed by His Word, living our lives in Jesus Christ, that we may be satisfied. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the Scriptures and the Exodus that our Savior has brought. For Lord, He has saved us from our sins, and we have embraced Him. And we are thankful that in this text, as we think of God's people during His day, we can identify with them in the Exodus He has brought us. May You feed us in this wilderness. May we feast on You. May we be fed by that Word as we partake of the sacraments, that we are strengthened in our faith as we look forward to that heavenly mountain that you have for us. May we know that as we belong to you and as you are part of our lives, we have crossed over from death to life. And that life that you have given to us in our Savior is an eternal life which will never end. Grant us your grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.